all my students from Crown College. You bet there's nothing like that at all. I'll tell you right now, it is the best. They call you. They call you to receive Jesus, don't they? You don't knock on their door. They call you. I compare it to selling vacuum cleaners door to door or selling cars. You sell cars, they come to your lot, Butch. You know? They come to your lot. You say, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee? You know? And instead of throwing dirt on your rug, you know? And anyway, getting in trouble. I am pleased to be here. Bruce did call. I was taking a little siesta on the couch. Watching, I don't know if Monk was on just yet or not, but I like to watch Monk. He reminds me of myself, a little obsessive compulsive there. I'm not quite like that. My wife wishes I had some of the obsessive compulsive for clean like Monk does. But other than that, Bruce called and said that what had happened, and he said, I'll call you tomorrow morning. And he faithfully did, and I'm delighted to be here. I'm just glad that we could get together. This is a wonderful place, and truly, his banner over us is love. I wanted to talk about something here that's been happening in the Waconia area that's probably happened here already. But I want to talk about the idea of understanding good Christian evangelical doctrine, understanding who Jesus is, understanding some doctrine about the Scriptures, understanding how someone is truly saved. Because we have, moving into Waconia, ready? It's new for us. There is a Mormon stake, or they call it a ward, that built right across from our brand new high school, right across Highway 5. So if you got out on Highway 5 and went, let's see, 18, probably 20 miles, you would see this Mormon beautiful building that they set up right on the corner there. And they have set their missionaries loose on Waconia and the surrounding areas. And it's been my task to help train people in the area, including college students, to be able to give them love, but to give them truth and to give it the both ways. When I spoke here the last time, I talked about two kinds of love, three actually, but two basically, tender side love, and I talked about tough love, and then we talked about Jesus, totally unbelievable love that he had for us. Now, the issue that comes into play here is, if the Mormon, like I had a Mormon neighbor, if he's your neighbor, or she, a family, you're not going to use necessarily strong-arm tactics. What you will use is relationship and prayer, and a little bit you can share here and there. But I got to tell you, friends, when they knock on your door, you may never get another shot. So don't shut the lights off and go hide in the family room, okay? Don't do that. I want to help you today, and this is actually a two-parter, but we'll just get the first part in to do a few things here. I want you to answer the door because they're lost. Mormons need Jesus. They're lost, really. They're trying to advertise that they're mainstream, but they're not. Now, did I come here to be divisive and to separate the church? No, I came to unify the church. They're not members of the church, universal. They are not born again. Believe me, they're not. It's not even close. All right? Let's look at a couple of things. I'll see. I think this is forward. Let's see. Yeah, I put that whatever in there because that's for the teenagers, if there's any teens here today. Comparison of evangelical Christianity and the Mormon church. Whatever. Whatever. That's a famous word. I don't know if you've heard your teen say that. Oh, Dad, like, whatever. Whatever. They say this generation can be summed up with that. But let's look at a few things. What are some things we need to know? What's our training need? Our first training need is 1 Peter 3:15. Who's got their sword out? I'm going to ask some people to do some sword reading. 1 Peter, are you Ed? Ed, would you please do 1 Peter 3:15? We want to talk about this one a little bit. And we need to be ready. Now, the best way to be ready with this sort of sharing is to know already what you believe. And we're going to do something like that. I think you're going to love it. It's going to be a little liturgical, but I'll tell you what. I have never, ever regretted my Roman Catholic catechisms. Okay, and there's certain ones aren't true, just a few. But the Apostles' Creed, oh, that's a good one. But let's look at this one first. Ed, would you read that for us, please?
Think. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. All the things prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the holy path. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Very good. Thank you. Gentleness and respect. Always have an answer. Always. There it is. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. The first training need is to be sold out to Jesus Christ. To know what you believe. To understand the fourfold gospel. I can't take my sweater off, but I've got one of my Alliance shirts on over here with the, you know, the four things here. Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, Coming King. I can wear those at Crown, so I'm underneath. Anyway, I'm not going to pick my sweater up. We don't want to scare everybody. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Everyone, gentleness and respect. We're not going to pop off. We're not going to get, arrogant. We're going to give them truth, and it's going to hurt. Now, let me give you an example of what's happened to me on occasion. First of all, it was a number of summers ago, by the way, at the Mormon house. I'm known as Waz. They already know who I am. And they change missionaries all the time. But the guy who was kind of in charge of that new building and stuff, he knows me. He used to live across the street. So I don't know if they've X'd my house or done something, but I've had quite a few altercations with the young men. Here's the point. I answered the door a couple summers ago. Two young men, Elder so-and-so and Elder so-and-so, immediately when I set eyes on them, white shirt, black ties, suit, elder, okay, both of them. So they come and they're talking to me, and I said, well, gentlemen, let's talk, though. I want to talk to you about what you believe. Let me ask you a few questions. So 20 minutes later, I get done talking, and I said, do you have any questions for me? No, we would just like to ask if you'd still like a Book of Mormon. You know, and they looked a little edgy, okay? So I didn't think twice about it, okay? They left, and I said, you know, may God go with you, but you are in error, brothers. You are in error. You have zeal without knowledge. The next morning, my next-door neighbor, who's a good Lutheran guy, his wife is a Roman Catholic, he came over to me as we were pulling out of the driveway. He stopped me. He said, did you have a couple of Mormon gentlemen or Jehovah's Witness come over? I said, yeah, it was last night. And he said, did they look a little scared? And I said, well, it was a little funny. I don't know. He said, well, Lindsay didn't want to talk to him. So when they came to the door, she said, I'm a devil worshiper. I don't want to talk to you. They turned kind of white. She's actually Roman Catholic. She does believe in God. Scared them. So I took the opportunity with Tori right then and there to take 5 minutes to share the evangelical view of who Jesus Christ is. I gave him the gospel because he asked me about the Mormons. I thought that was fun. Any man is right, George. I gave him that. Was that you? That was you. All right. I got to give credit to those amens. Where Mike, that was George on that amen. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, we'll keep going. Let's go to the next one. I love this little PowerPoint thing. You guys, this is great. Love it. John 13:35. I'll read this one up here. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Our attitude cannot be that of us guys are like this, man, ladies, you know that. We want to conquer. If we get in a car and we want to drive the Wisconsin Dells, sometimes we're lucky if we have one bathroom break, you know? I mean, we will conquer getting there. Directions. I don't need no stinking directions. You know, we're going to make it. It's like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Remember that time he got lost, you know, at the wedding, you know, in Toledo? He got too far. He turned around. It was snowing. He came back. He stopped at the same place he was. Poor Tim. Just couldn't stop. But anyway, we like to conquer. So many times when somebody disagrees with us, we're going to drill them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give them everything they have. Now, should you not give them truth? Well, I think you should. Should you do it with gentleness and meekness? When a Mormon comes to Christ, it is as if The foundation of a house was pulled out from underneath their life. That house has no... I've seen testimonies where people have said, I was nothing for a few months. I was nothing. And then some Christian people finally shared with me, and I came to know the true Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when we look at this, love is a key thing. So we don't want to talk too much smack, but they're going to get it. You want an example? I'll give you an example. I was at Dan and Jamie Sorensen are new believers. They've got three children. They're believers for the last 2 or 3 years. We need to continue to pray for Dan. He has struggled with tobacco, with smoking for a long time. You guys know that's not the end of the world. Some of you know that it's difficult. Some people say it's easier to give up cocaine than it is tobacco. But I just love Dan. Dan and I are, I love him. He's a great guy. And we pray for him all the time on that issue. And other issues as well. He's learned some things about staying home and not working all the time. This one here was something. They invited the Mormon missionaries to come over and to have dinner. I'm not sure I always recommend this, but I got a little nervous. You know, they haven't been believers very long, and they said, would you like to come over for dinner? I was going to invite myself, actually. I was just going to show up. So the two young men came, and when they saw me, they had heard about me already from Aaron, the guy that's leading that group. Oh, yeah, you're Waz. That is correct. What does that mean? It's like I'm Jesse the Body Ventura or something. I'll rep these pythons, whatever. They think I'm somebody tough, but actually I just sat there. And I let Jamie, the wife, she was very pregnant, by the way, at the time. She said, so tell me, is it true that you believe if Dan and I are married in the temple and we follow all these rules and we do this and we do that, that someday when we die, that we will have our own world to populate and that we're going to have babies and babies and babies forever? Is that what you're saying? Wrong thing, Ed, to say to a pregnant lady. You know, she's pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant the rest of my life. You know, it's a good feeling. But forever? And they go, well, yeah. Yeah, that's in, you know, when he opens the Pearl of Great Price, which is one of their books of Scripture. Oh, and here's what it says. And then I said, I stopped him a second. I said, well, let me ask you a question. In Luke, when Jesus is talking to the Sadducees, and the Sadducees said this scenario. They said, we had a wife and a husband. The husband was the first of seven brothers. By Jewish law, well, he passed away. Well, the next brother should take her as his wife to what? To provide for her as well. That was their welfare system. Let's say he died. The next one and the next one, all seven died. Jesus, who will be her husband in paradise? And he said, you're confused. There is neither marriage nor the giving of marriage in heaven. So I ask you this question. How is that possible? The young man looked at me and said, I don't know. I said, good. Good answer. I'll accept that. I'll give you an I don't know. That's your first. As the evening went on, that's what we would do. Now, I didn't start talking trash with him, you know, jumping around in the end zone. Score! You know, goal! You know. No, you don't want to do that because they need love. Here's another one. Another training need. 8:32 of John. Let's see, Butch, go ahead. You go over there. 8:32 of John. I'm going to throw it up there anyway, but I wanted to hear from you. Go ahead, real loud, sir. Uh-huh. Absolutely. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No question about it. Truth will set them free, but they're blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says they're blinded. The blinding is not just, you know, and I say this, I would, you know, it's tough, I guess, to be blind. I've never been blinded or blind, but, you know, that would be tough physically. But people get, you know, people, there's great things. They overcome with the power of God. They overcome. But to be blinded to truth, to be blinded spiritually is something we all can understand. We really can. Well, they are way off on a tangent. So when we look at that, the truth will set you free. We need to know that, that we need to give truth. Okay, let's keep going before the Hmong starts coming in for the service. We need to get going. Let's look at this Apostle Creed. Let's look at this. Some interesting things here. Now, can I ask a question, folks? You guys know what the Apostles' Creed? You know what it is? Very good. Uh-oh. I must be your age, dear. And of course, what are you, 37? 37, okay. Well, 38 then, okay. Like I teased Dora at Billy Graham, right? What do I say to Dora? She's 62, right? And she's 90. She still drives there. From, where does she come from? It's north, even past here, Brooklyn Center. Anyway, so I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God the Father. The scripture says that there was, in 43:10 of Isaiah, God was, He always was, there are none before Him, there are none after Him, He is God. There's some powerful stuff in Isaiah 43:44 right in there. We look at this. And in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. Now, why did He say begotten Son? Does this mean He was born? No, it has nothing to do with any of that. Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, is He's the firstborn among many brethren, in the sense that He was the first one to be raised from the dead. He died for our sins. We're not going to die for anyone's sins. But He died for our sins, and He was raised on the second day. He was the first one. He made the way plain. He was the second Adam, in a sense. So in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. I'm going to stop just for a second here. A Mormon will tell you that Satan and Jesus are brothers. Where'd you get that? Well, you see, when you go off a tangent, you go off. But see, we have to know what we believe first. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. All right? The third day He rose again from the dead. Now, that's a passage in Peter we can argue about, but we're not going to go today. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is the mediator right there. From thence He will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the unity of those who truly believe. It's not the Roman Church. The communion of saints. By the way, we're all saints. You realize that, right? I mean, it's not just St. Francis of Assisi. You're Butch the Saint, okay, Butch? You know, we want to get some relics from you, okay, just in case we need them. No. Your wife is the true saint there, but I would have to say... Got a shot in on the music director, huh? Just kidding, little joke. Don't be laughing, Ed. I know who the true saint is over here, too. All right, here we go. I believe... Look at what comes up here. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. See, I'm going to say something. I'm getting up there, okay? I'm still a baby boomer, 1957. I'll be 49 this year. But I miss some of the liturgical things that some of the mainline churches do. Many of the mainline churches, and I don't want to cut them down, but many of them, there's no spiritual power behind them reciting it. But I think we ought to recite it. I think there ought to be some form, now stay with me, of confirmation in the evangelical church. We must know what we believe in order to take on a Mormon missionary or a Mormon neighbor. We've got to know it. So, I say this to you, treasury agents, when they're first trained, they are trained with the real thing. They lock them in a room, as far as I was told, for a couple days. And they give them real money to look at. Not fake money, Real money. So when they know what is true, they can identify what's false. Bam. I love some of the cashiers, men and women through the years, when you've been paying them cash once in a while. They feel so many bills that I've had a couple take my bill and kind of hold it to the light. And I'm thinking, gee, is it counterfeit? Ay, 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 am I going to jail? But it just didn't feel right to them, right? They can identify, yeah, their fingers, you know? It's amazing. But we need to be the same way to identify truth, because Mormons are lost. Here's one of the three problems. Now, I'm just going to get you three. We'll work through these real quickly. But I like to call it sad. And the reason I call it sad is because salvation is by grace and works. Grace and works. Secondly, they add or subtract from the Bible. For the Mormons, they have a Bible that would be probably as twice as thick as this one, and it would have three other books in it: the Book of Mormon, the Doctrines and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And then it would have the Bible. Now, the Bible is subservient to the three, because that's new revelation. That's new revelation. So where the Bible says something and disagrees, the Bible's wrong. That's a problem. And then they do deny the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ has been God. He's been God forever, before forever, after forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is God. He didn't become a God. It's not possible. So these are the three areas. So let's just see if we can't learn a couple of things here on salvation. First of all, Christianity. Justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's got another sword out? Anyone got a sword? Want to go further back? 324 Romans? Who's got one? Mrs., you want to do one? Please, Romans 324. So we've got Jesus Christ, justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. I love it. Amen. Justified freely. 10:10 is going to say, 10:9 and 10, it says this: if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made. Okay, do you see that? You look at Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace are we saved through faith, not that of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then the works come into play. Verse 10 says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. We don't work into salvation. We make the covenant with Almighty God. I like to think of it right here. I like to think of a wedding right here in many ways. Only the wedding is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When a person comes to know Jesus, they make a covenant before other people, but a covenant with God Almighty to be married to Jesus, totally married to Jesus, forever and ever and ever. Jesus will never walk away from that marriage, that covenant, if you will. And here, they're talking about justified by faith alone. Yeah. After the commitment is made, that's what happens. But look what this fellow McConkie's got to say. That's Philippians 3:10. 3:10 says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But Mormonism, justification and salvation are found in the atonement. But it only becomes operative in the life of an individual only on the conditions of personal righteousness. When did God ever say, take a shower and then come to me? Did he ever say that? Clean your life up, then you can come to me. Never said that. Because it's impossible. We can't clean ourselves up. We got to have that shower, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. God makes it. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. You can't have righteousness without Jesus. Taking a shower is not something that God asks us to do before we get there. No. And see, they want to say, you got to become holy. You guys want to live a life like that? I don't. This is by McConkie, Mormon Doctrine, so we'll just keep moving. Here's another one. Christianity, saved by grace and grace alone. By the way, this is a good backup for that when it talks about His mercy. We're saved by His mercy. Grace and grace alone. Look at this. Mormonism. Certain saved by grace fanatics flatter their followers into believing they can be saved through no act other than confessing Christ with their lips. He needs to read Romans. Confession is made. God knows those who are His. My sister, when you're on the phone at Billy Graham, many times you know whether they're going to mean it or not, whether they meant it. You know, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But that's not our job, is it? Our job is to help them to come to know Jesus. If they meant it, praise the Lord. But I can tell sometimes if how the phone call goes, but other times I can't tell. Who knows what's in a human heart? Who knows the depths of God except the Spirit of God? Who knows the depths of man except man's spirit? So he says we're fanatics. Let me say a couple things here. Ready? Those of you who are in business or have been in business, the Mormon Church is only 40% tax deductible. What do you mean? It's only 40% nonprofit. The other 60% that they have, well, I was told they own a good chunk of Coca-Cola, Dole Pineapple, insurance companies, Marriott. They own all sorts of businesses. When you go to Utah, to Salt Lake, you'll see 30, 40-story building. It's all the Mormon Church. Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't take any effort at all to get that thing built out there in Waconia. Somebody wrote a check, Salt Lake City. It was done. They got money. And the reason they want you to keep coming is because they want your money. And by the way, the only way to get to be in the real world or get to be gods in the next world is if you tithe. Abstain from alcohol. Abstain from caffeine. Be part of the service of the church. There's a bunch of things here. Abstain from tobacco. See, God made it this way. It's not by works. It's clear. Add to the scriptures. Here's what they have. We have some famous passages there. And they have the following. The Bible says, for all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. It also says in the last chapter of Revelation, I believe it's 22:18, that whoever adds to this book, may the plagues written in this book come upon them. Second Peter talks about another one there. We could go into great detail. This is another message about how the canon of scripture got into play. How did it come to play? That's another message. We could do that. Why did they do? How come this book is in, that book isn't? Well, it's interesting things, but they will add to it and in that order. Now, just a quick thing here, and then how am I doing on time? Almost done? Yeah? I'll go here. Never mind. I've been studying some more things. The deity of Christ. We got these. Those are some great passages if you want to go there. John 1:1, Colossians 2:9 says, and in Him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Don't read it out of a JW Bible, okay? The New World Translation, because it says the qualities of deity. In Hebrews 1:1-4, it says, He is the exact representation of the Father. The exact representation. One of many gods. Progressive Jesus has not always been a God. The teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. And they will say to you, when you catch them in one of these, oftentimes they will say, I don't know. The only thing that I know is that I went into my room and I prayed and I asked God if Joseph Smith was a true prophet, and He told me that he was. So I've gotten that over and over again from them. You catch them? Well, all I know is they need Jesus, people. We need to give them Jesus. Let's do a little more here and we'll be done. Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. not born of a virgin, doctrines and salvation. Well, if you look at Isaiah, if you look at Matthew, if we understand the Old Testament, we would know that the Scriptures teach this. It's in direct competition. What did I do there? We welcome you this morning. Excellent. I want to stop with just a couple of things here. The training needs that we see is to have the attitude of love, to know what you believe, to be prepared for every time that they ask. The second part of this message, what I would do is I would help you to put together some apologetics. Okay, now that's a fancy word for something just defending the faith. One of my beliefs is that these folks that are missionaries are leading people astray by the thousands. And the issue is they must be stopped. And it's going to take God's people to stop them. It will. I'm not talking about shooting them, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. They're people. God died for them too. God loves them. And He offers a wonderful plan for their life. But they're caught. They're caught in a web. Former pastor friend of mine, I know he's struggling right now because his daughter of 27 years is interested in a Mormon guy. Well, they're good people. They vote. They're patriotic. They serve in the military. But they're not saved. They white knuckle it. How do I know they white knuckle it? Are you ready? I know you're Christians. In Utah, the average Mormon wife, the highest percentage of prescribed antidepressant drugs are for Mormon women in the state of Utah. That's highest per capita, okay? Certainly there aren't that many in Utah, California, Texas, you know, per capita. The highest rate of credit card indebtedness, Mormon males per capita. Mormon males, the state of Utah. Why? She's the perfect Mormon wife. He's the perfect Mormon husband. Very successful. That's not what God called us to. God called us to allowing that Holy Spirit, as you prayed, Butch, to come down. It's a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's not a white knuckle. Well, I suppose maybe. I don't know. You know, maybe at times alcoholics who are believers, that are struggling, they come to know Christ, they got to white knuckle it a little bit. You got to give some effort, I suppose. But the power of God comes in there. I believe that with all my heart. The point is that I didn't come here to give you a negative message, but a positive one. And as they knock on your door, don't run away. Don't run away. Ask questions. Make them ask questions they don't want to answer. And again, that would be the next message. Because God wants us to. He wants us to lead as many as possible to a saving knowledge of Him. And I appreciate you putting up with me on short notice. The next time Bruce invites me, we'll do the second half of this. We'll put six or seven up there. And I tell my students at Crown, they say to me, when I say to them, I don't want you shutting the lights off and going and hiding. They all laugh because they've done it. You know, I don't want to deal with them today. When have you ever dealt with them? The point is that I'll say to them, I want to prepare you in this class because if Crown College is to provide a biblically based education for Christian leadership in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the church at large, and the world, then you have to be a leader at home. So their final exam is to put together questions. You know, Ed, they come to your door. It's your house. Well, we would like to ask you a couple questions. Hang on a second. My house, I got a few questions. So I tell them to put it in their closet by the front door. You know, I don't know if everybody's got a closet by the front door, but put it in your Bible. Put it in the closet right where you can get it. And have this all printed out. Pull it out. Fold it up and say, hey, I've researched who you are. I'd like to know a few things. And give them the gospel, the truth and love. Truth and love. If they're your neighbors, this is a relational thing. If they're missionaries standing in front of you, people, you know what to do. You're going to have to ask them questions. And then I would suggest you give them the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Steps to peace with God out of work. Huh? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We're grateful for the truth that you've given us. And Father, our hearts go out to those Mormons who think that they're going to a celestial heaven, a heaven of perfection, and they're going to become gods. Lord, they're lost. They are so lost. I would pray that you would help each of them. And help my brothers and sisters here, even as they use the Alpha program and other programs were discussed today, Evangelism Explosion and other things. May we always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have with gentleness and with meekness, Father. But let us give your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.